And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. I'm your host, Angela Bowen, and welcome to another episode of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Today, we will be discussing, or I will be discussing, reviewing, Season 1, Episode 8, Hiroshima Mon Frere, which aired on February 15th, 1989. Welcome to the weekend, Wonderlings. Are you guys ready for it? I know I am. Even though I had this whole week off from work, I'm kind of ready to go back and make some more money again for 4 days until my trip vacation comes up. Well, before we get started, I've got some congratulations to deliver to Totally Haim and also Joey Garcia 38. I'm making both of you guys honorary Wonderlings of the Week for answering the trivia question for Season 2, Episode 8, Hiroshima Mon Frere. The question was, who is the name of the girl Wayne is trying to impress? The correct answer, Angela. And boy oh boy, does he go to great lengths to impress her. He even at one point, in a desperate attempt to get her to come over, offers to wash her hair and blow it dry for her. Yikes. Excuse me. So in this episode, Wayne's bullying of Kevin has been getting pretty out of hand lately. But when he interferes in a big way with Kevin and Paul's science project, Wayne may have gone too far. This is the IMDb's episode summary. We open the episode up with Kevin lying awake in bed at night as he's pondering the big questions like, what does it feel like to be dead? I don't think I ever thought that as a kid late at night unless I wanted to suffer nightmares. Are time and space really infinite? What was there before the universe began? Never pondered that at all. Not really a science girl. Why are there people like Wayne? Yeah, I wonder that too. Wayne's across the room from him in his bed, and even in his dreams, he still hates Kevin's guts, calling out, Butthead. Kevin thinks it's because of the fact that he was born that caused Wayne to dislike him so much. And then we're treated to a flashback of Kevin coming home from the hospital as a newborn. And 3-year-old Wayne, dressed in a cowboy outfit, is not happy as he pretends to shoot baby Kevin with his toy gun. Then we see Kevin at about 2 years old trying to include himself in Wayne's make-believe game with a cardboard box as he crawls inside, and then little Wayne closes the box on him with Kevin inside. Eventually, the home movie leads up to present-day Kevin and Wayne in the backyard at a cookout as Wayne shoves food into Kevin's mouth, smearing whipped cream or some other white stuff on Kevin's face. Along with the usual, Wayne pounds Kevin on the shoulder repeatedly while putting him in a headlock. Kevin tells us he always imagined things would be that way between them, even as they turn into old men, as we see two old men on a park bench slapping at each other. I thought that was funny. Kevin looks over at Wayne, telling us that no matter how much you hate each other, there's always something you hold back. There are things you could use, but you don't. Because deep down, you don't really want to hurt him. Until one day you're pushed too far. Suddenly, Wayne opens his eyes, glaring in Kevin's direction, sneering, "What are you looking at?" And he throws a pillow at Kevin's face. So he must have just recently fell asleep for him to be that alert. He hadn't even looked like he entered the REM cycle yet. I feel the same way. I love my older sister. Sure, if I got mad enough, I could say hurtful things. But I know in my heart I would never do that, because I love her too much and would never want to cause her that kind of pain. Then we hear an explosion and see a mushroom cloud as Kevin's science teacher, Mr. Cantwell, played by Ben Stein, describes a day of reconning. Interesting how in Season 2, Episode 6, Pottery Will Get You Nowhere, his topic of the day also simultaneously related in a way to what was going on with Kevin's parents. And now this subject is relating in a way to the bond of brothers. The teacher turns out the projector, turns it off, and tells him the class. This concludes section 7 of Our Dying Planet. Man, why didn't he just show the 1980s TV movie the day after? That'll fuck him up. I know it hadn't come out yet, of course, but I'm sure if he showed it to them, they would probably be freaked the hell out. He asks for questions, then after seeing no hands in the air, he tells them next week they'll be moving on to Section 8, Radiation and Our Mutation, What Are the Risks? If only the Gone series by Michael Grant was out, that would be so cool for them to read. I love this series. Plus, in October, there's a new book coming out, a spinoff called Monster. He goes on to tell them that their generation could very well be the first to experience the widespread, and then he has Paul read the word, who tells Mr. Cantwell it looks like cancer. And Mr. Cantwell says, yes, cancer. And that their generation will be the ones that will suffer to the cancer to follow nuclear industrial accidents. I am sorry, I am tripping over my words. Why did Mr. Cantwell take off his glasses? And why could he not read that one word, but he could read the others? He has a couple girls come up with their science project on pollution and toxic waste. One girl carries a fishbowl with a funnel at the top, and the other girl holds a can of something considered to be toxic waste. I counted 5 or 6 fish in there. Paul and Kevin didn't bother to even do the project because they're scrambling to come up with something, just as Mr. Cantwell calls them to come up and do their project. Kevin stutters an excuse, but Mr. Cantwell isn't impressed. So Kevin tries another approach and tells him, well, their results are inconclusive. This luckily allows them over the weekend to finish the project and show it on Monday. Then he calls another couple of kids up to the class to present smog and noise pollution. The boy has a leaf blower attached to his back, and the other boy pulls a string on it to start it up as the room fills with smoke. That room is small, and I can see those kids wanting to throw up from those fumes. Blah. After class, Kevin is looking at the clipboard for something to choose as a test subject for their new project. And he suggests they do mold or fungus, but Paul has already set his sights on the hamsters and has fallen in love. Kevin tells us how Paul can't have a pet, and Kevin recalls the time when he caught Paul at a department store petting an Angora sweater. That's kind of creepy. Paul tells him fungus sounds disgusting and flat out refuses, even when Kevin tells him it's basically an easy A, but Paul's mind is set on the furry hamsters. Kevin finally relents after seeing Paul so enraptured in talking his baby talk to them. I remember in my senior year of high school, my grandma had brought my cat Owen to school for me for my project in animal science. I can't even remember what it was for, but I guess I was just looking for an excuse to show off my cat. I'm kind of curious why no one snapped them up first. I mean, the girls didn't want to work with animals? Who doesn't want to work with animals? Kevin reminds Paul as they walk out of the classroom that this is a scientific experiment and they cannot think of them as pets. Now the boys are on the bus and Paul, of course, wastes no time pulling one of the hamsters out to pet him. Big mistake there, Paul. Kevin warns him to put the hamster back or it'll run away. Paul tells him, that wouldn't happen. They like us. Kevin also mentions if something happens to the hamsters, their teacher will be none too pleased about it. Yeah, Paul, you're on a school bus. It only takes one time for that hamster to get loose, and then you'll never see him again. He could get stepped on or worse. I don't really know what's worse than that for a hamster, maybe to be run over. But we're about to find out just how much worse it can get as Wayne gets on the bus and sets his sights directly on the little hamster. He grabs him right out of Paul's hand and starts waving him around as Kevin tries and fails to get him back. Wayne then holds the hamster out the bus window. He then threatens them, saying, stay back! Wouldn't want to see anything happen to your little rat now, would we? They're hamsters, Paul corrects them. Hamsters? Really? How interesting. Do hamsters always land on their feet? Wayne asks, still holding the hamster out the window. Oh, Wayne. Kevin looking for a way to take control of the situation, seeing Angela Chomsky coming down the aisle of the bus, and calls out to her, telling Wayne, "It's your girlfriend." Yeah, right, Kevin. In his dreams, he wishes. Luckily, Wayne chills out for a sec, but then decides to include the hamster in his torment of Angela, thinking this will impress her. He jumps into the seat in front of her, still squeezing the poor little hamster in a vice-like grip, using it like a puppet as he slowly rises above the top of the seat. How has this poor creature not pissed or shitted all over his hand in fear? Kevin attempts to lunge at Wayne, telling him to give him back. He's gonna squish him. I'm surprised the bus driver didn't get involved, although they didn't have video cameras in buses yet and wouldn't for a few decades. But he still has that mirror. I first remember them when I think I was in junior high, so maybe 1995. Unless those kids are on the floor beating each other to death, he wouldn't be pulling over. I still remember in elementary school when my bus driver handed out bus tickets. Wayne then pulls out a pencil aimed at the hamster's head and tells Kevin, "Back, Scroat, or the little guy gets it," he threatens. What the hell is wrong with Wayne? This is borderline cruel. I feel so bad for that hamster being treated like that. It's probably scared to death. The girls just look at Wayne, mouths agape, like, what is wrong with this guy? Then he takes the hamster, using it to touch Angela's breasts, telling her the hamster wants to go mountain climbing. What the fuck, Wayne? Not only is he an abuser of animals, he's a sexual predator now, too. The girl yells at Wayne, like, okay, you pushed this far enough, guy. You need to stop. Then he laughs, turning to the hamster, shaking his finger as if to say, if this animal has offended you in any way whatsoever. Then he starts pretending to freak out, saying, hamster out of control, hamster out of control, oh no! And then he leaps over the seat and screaming at Angela, shoving the hamster at her face. Kevin and Paul, meanwhile, are screaming at Wayne, who finally looks back innocently, like, what? I wasn't doing nothing. Now we're back in the Arnold kitchen, and Kevin and Paul have their experiments spread out on the table. Why there? That's where they eat. Couldn't they do this in the dining room, the basement, or their bedroom? Plenty of other options to run these trials. Basically, their experiment is to run two hamsters through the maze. One hamster is being fed root beer and cheese puffs, while the other is being fed regular water and hamster pellets. Then they compare the two hamsters to their different times and see if the bad diet affects the one hamster over the other. Paul notices the hamsters are still upset from this afternoon. Well, one might be stressed, the other hamster that was not harmed by Wayne should be fine. How can they tell them apart? Is one male and one female, or are they both males? He mentions Weezer's breathing is very fast and puffy. But Kevin just gives Paul a look that stops him from continuing, like, Paul, really? You had to go and name them? You know we're not keeping them, right? They're property of the school, basically. Paul corrects himself, then says the control subject has the hiccups. Paul suggests they go to his house and do the experiment there. Which, honestly, already knowing the outcome of this episode, I say that would have been a better idea. Kevin tells Paul not to worry, that Wayne wouldn't try anything with their parents around. But then Kevin hears the sound of heels on linoleum as Norma comes in all dressed up for her date with Jack. Crap. Wayne comes in telling Kevin and Paul to hit the road and take their rats with them. Kevin fires back how Norma already gave them permission. That table barely looks big enough to hold all that stuff on there. Wayne pleads to his mom to have the boys move their experiment to another room, and Norma tells him that she already gave them permission. Wayne tells her Angela is coming over. Yeah, right. I'd like to see how he swung that one. Kevin just looks at Wayne scoffing, Angela's coming over in your dreams. Wayne tells him, eat your heart out, sonny boy. She wants me. Oh, vomit. And he tells Kevin to beat it. The boys wind up in a shoving match, ending with their hands around each other's throats as Norma yells at them, asking if she and Jack can leave the house for 2 hours without them at each other's throats. Norma tells Wayne he and Angela can use the living room, while Kevin and Paul can use the kitchen. What if you were going over to someone's house? Wouldn't you want to be more comfortable in the living room? Although in the kitchen, you could make a quicker exit if need be. Wayne tries another tactic, tells her she doesn't want these rodents in the kitchen. They eat in here. She tells him it'll be fine. He tells her how dirty and smelly the hamsters are, and they'll get in the walls and breed. Really? Two male hamsters will breed? Uh-huh. Right, Wayne. Paul defends them, telling Wayne they're clean. Yeah, haven't you seen them constantly grooming their fur? Really, Wayne? I bet those hamsters are cleaner than you. Norma looks at Kevin and tells him she wants them to remain in their cages at all times. Then she leaves to get the vacuum, and then Wayne tells Kevin as soon as their parents leave, they have to get out of the kitchen. Jack comes in as he's straightening his tie, and Kevin complains to him, but Jack cuts him off, saying, I don't want to hear it. Jack calls to Karen, and Norma tells her she's in charge of the boys, but as soon as Jack and Norma leave, a horn honks outside for Karen, and she tells them she's out of there and they're on their own. Well, I guess they're fucked. Wayne smiles maniacally at them, standing up, pointing out the fact that their parents are gone, and now so is Karen, leaving Wayne the next chain in command. He tells them to beat it, but Kevin stands his ground, and Wayne yanks the hamster out of his cage. Paul freaks out, telling Wayne to leave Weezer alone. Wayne just uses this fact as leverage to mock him. Weezer? He scoffs at him. Oh, wouldn't want to hurt little Weezer, now would I? Kevin stands up to Wayne, telling him if he doesn't hand him over, he'll take him from him. Kevin, don't say it, just do it. Kevin lunges for Wayne, who pushes Kevin away as he moves to the sink, turning on the garbage disposal. Okay, this is going way too far, Wayne. Now you look like a sociopath. He holds Weezer upside down in the sink towards the running blades of the garbage disposal. Kevin looks at Wayne, calling his bluff, and Wayne demonstrates with a carrot first. Paul, getting even more panicked, begs for Kevin to do something as Kevin taunts him, saying, You don't scare me, Wayne. This has gone far beyond you, Kevin. We're talking about poor Weezer's life being at stake here. Wayne jokes how Weezer's getting heavy in his hand as he lowers him farther into the sink, closer to the spinning blades. Kevin gives in, and Wayne tells him to say, I give up. Almighty Wayne, my lord and master. Kevin basically tells him to fuck off. Then Wayne lowers Weezer just inches above the garbage disposal. Paul cries out to Kevin to stop him. Then Kevin, seeing no alternative, repeats Wayne's saying, and Wayne shuts off the disposal, then tells Kevin to take all his science crap off the table and take it into his room and stay there for the rest of the night. He then has Paul check on Kevin to make sure he's actually in the bedroom and not in the hallway. Then he hands Weezer back to Paul, then proceeds to kick Paul in the butt for added measure, telling him this is the last he wants to see of him for the rest of the night. In the bedroom, Kevin is angrily pacing back and forth as he plots threatening bodily harm to Wayne. Paul is busy making sure that Weezer is okay as he mentally and physically looks him over for any signs of stress or mental anguish. Poor little guy. No crushed lung or any other damaged parts. Paul tells Kevin it's time to feed them, and that seems to break Kevin out of his torturous thoughts of bodily harm. Kevin assures Paul as well as himself that the next time he's not backing down no matter what Wayne does. Speaking of Wayne, we're in the kitchen as he calls up Angela and tells her he has the house to himself at the moment. Back in the bedroom, Kevin is looking at the clipboard and telling... Paul tells Kevin to make a separate column so they can view the results side by side. Why didn't they think to do that to begin with? Watching Paul play with Weezer as he baby talks to him, I notice it looks like the hamster just wants to get away from him. Like, I've been freaked out enough today, okay? Go play with Puffy for a while. Speaking of Puffy, we don't see him, or is it her? I don't know. Paul's found his favorite, I guess. Kevin asks Paul, what Weezer's last time was running in the maze, but Paul's too preoccupied playing with him to hear Kevin. I'd be like, Paul, if they're not running in the maze, let's just leave them alone. He's getting too attached. He repeats the question, and Paul starts to go all ethical, asking question if the experiment is safe for the hamsters. It's just a cardboard maze. You're not testing harmful products or using them to cure cancer. It's fine. Plus, you're testing their intelligence. Kevin assures him it's fine that their teacher wouldn't let them do a project if it wasn't safe. Paul tells him he's referring to research. Weezer and Puffy. Yeah, that's what Kevin was referring to also. Kevin puts the clipboard down and finally admits that they are kind of cute, and Paul suggests Kevin scratch Weezer behind the ears because that's what he likes the best. Then Kevin starts in on the baby talk as he pets him, but then stops himself and tries to get them back on track with the experiment. Kevin tells him they need root beer for Weezer to drink before he can run the maze. Paul's heart sinks as he mentions it's in the kitchen. Shit. Kevin puts the clipboard down and starts to head out of the bedroom, but Paul tells him Wayne told him not to go in there. Kevin turns on Paul, telling him it's his house too, and Wayne can't control their lives. In the kitchen, Wayne is still on the phone with Angela, begging her to come over. Damn, talk about desperate. He tells her she promised. When was this? When you were sexually assaulting her with a hamster on the bus? I wouldn't think she'd want anything to do with you after that, let alone be alone with you. She apparently tells him she has to wash her hair. When he tells her it looked pretty clean to him, then he offers to wash it and blow it dry for her. Yuck. Wayne, just stop. Now you're just embarrassing yourself. He tells her he's going to keep calling and calling until she says yes. He's going to make her life miserable. Yeah, you're already pretty much doing that. He's going to bug her until she can't refuse. Finally, she agrees to come and meet him. Surprised, yes. Really? You're really coming over? And then he tells her he'll see her in 10 minutes. He hangs up the phone and then does a little happy dance, then turns around and sees Kevin watching him from the doorway. He reminds Kevin to stay out of the kitchen, and Kevin pulls out the root beer and starts out of the kitchen, then throws out, I guess you were right about Angela wanting you. She sounds pretty desperate. Wayne tells him to shut up as Kevin backs out of the kitchen, shaking the bottle of Barks root beer at him as he leaves, saying, alright, alright, touchy, touchy. Back in the bedroom, Paul freaks out, thinking Weezer is turning orange, when in fact it's just cheese dust from the cheese doodles. So Kevin demonstrates by brushing it off Weezer's back. Why is his back covered in cheese dust? Were Kevin and Paul eating cheese doodles over the cage and it landed on Weezer? Kevin pours root beer in the water bottle and then Weezer takes a drink. Immediately, after taking a couple pulls on the nozzle, he turns away from it like, what is this shit I'm drinking? Kevin goes to grab Weezer to check his heart rate. Give it a sec, Kev. It's not going to take effect that fast, as Paul tells Kevin to wait a moment because Weezer doesn't like it when you handle him right after he's eating. It gives him a tummy ache. Honestly, though, who would? Your body's still trying to digest. Kevin agrees to give it 5 minutes. Then we move to the living room as we see Wayne has set up a buffet of soda and snack treats. 5 sodas? Well, 6 if you count the one he's holding. While the song Wild Thing plays in the background. Plus, he's in the living room. He was bitching about Kevin being in the kitchen after Norma told him he could use the living room. What the hell? Wayne, you selfish ass. Selfish, selfish ass. Wayne practices what he's going to say and chills on the couch while he waits for her. You really think she's going to stay long enough to drink 3 bottles of pop? He looks at the clock. It's currently 7:45. We see the clock spin around until it's 9:30. So he waited for an hour and 45 minutes. Good grief. I would have given up after 30 minutes. We hear the needle on the record player scratching. In that amount of time, Wayne drank all 6 bottles of pop and ate the 2 large bowls of snacks. He must feel like shit. Not to mention, he probably had to pee multiple times after 6 bottles of pop. Back in the bedroom, we see Weezer making his way through the maze. He faces a dead end as Paul overhead shouts words of encouragement or tells him, no, don't go that way! Not that way! It's a dead end! And Kevin tells Paul, you can't help him! He's got to do it on his own. Paul goes on to say, Weezer's confused and the diet is getting to him. Kevin explains, well, that's part of the experiment. Paul's like, we're playing God here! Paul yells at him, pulling Weezer out of the maze. We have no right. It's unnatural. Well, I guess you're taking an F on this assignment. Thanks a lot, Paul. That's it. Kevin, find someone who isn't so damn emotionally attached to do future science projects with, because Paul is not working out. He's so damn high-strung. Kevin tells Paul it's not like it's poison. Millions of people eat this food every day. Paul looks at Kevin and says, well, whose fault is that? Kevin tells him this will be his last run through the maze. Paul interrupts, telling Weezer needs a drink of water. Kevin explains to Paul that they're supposed to be giving him, but Paul yells at him, he needs a drink of water. I'd be like, then go get him one, then. Why can't they just... Where is their bathroom located? They can get water right out of the tap in the bathroom. Kevin can see Paul has reached the point of no return and was beyond reasoning and heads out to go get some. And then Paul adds, and some Alka-Seltzer. Kevin just looks at Paul like, no, I'm not doing that. In the kitchen, Wayne is back on the phone to Angela asking why she didn't come over. And she tells him something that he says, oh, yeah, he does it all the time. Then he begs again, come over, come on, please, or I can come over there. Yeah, right, this is really sad. It's also after 9:30 at night. I doubt her father would let her go out that late to a guy's house, let alone have him come over. Angela? Angela? He calls into the phone. Yeah, she hung up on his ass. Kevin just walks out of the doorway, basically. Just, he hangs there for a minute as Wayne's on the phone. He's like, oh, this is terrible, pathetic. He just walks back to his room. Paul asks Kevin where the water is, and Kevin tells him to just forget it. As Kevin tells Paul they should finish the experiment, that is when Wayne comes in wearing a plastic fireman's hat and dragging in the hose vacuum cleaner, calling himself the hamster patrol. Oh shit, this is not going to end well. Kevin yells at Wayne to stay out. Weezer, of course, escapes from Paul's hand and goes under the bed. Well, he's gone forever. Wayne turns on the vacuum and enters the room, and then Kevin jumps on him. The hose goes under the bed, and then we hear a sucking noise, like something's being sucked up. And Paul cries out, no, Weezer, as he looks under the bed. They all sit there in stunned silence, and then Kevin pushes Wayne like, you damn idiot, you fucking moron. I'm ashamed to be related to you. He did not say that. That is my words. Kevin is fuming as he looks at Wayne, who's still in shock. He then stands up to face Wayne and really lets him have it. I mean, he emotionally rips him to shreds that cut like glass. I'm going to play this clip because it is just too good as Kevin lets out all his pent-up anger and rage at Wayne. How many years has this been building up? All right, I'm playing the clip and I will be right back.
At that moment, as I looked at my brother, something snapped inside me. I didn't hate his guts. I hated him. I hated everything about him. And at that moment, I didn't care what it cost me. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to hurt him.
You want to know why Angela wouldn't come over?
Shut up.
Because she doesn't like you, Wayne.
Shut up.
She doesn't. Nobody does.
Shut up.
No. You may be bigger than me and stronger than me. But you know what, Wayne? I have friends. Nobody likes you, Wayne. You're just mean to everybody all the time because nobody likes you. You're pathetic.
Now we hear the taps playing, which I guess they play at funerals sometimes, which is familiar with funerals, I believe. As we see Kevin digging a hole in the ground for Weezer, as Paul pulls out the vacuum bag, he says he died that man might learn. Men might learn, man might learn. I'm not sure what that is. It might be from a poem. I'm not sure. I should have looked it up. As he places the bag in the ground, Kevin then pats Paul's back as he cries on Kevin's shoulder. What a good friend, even if he does look around awkwardly while it's going on. Now we see Kevin at the park, on a park bench, holding a stick and telling us how he didn't see Wayne very much for the next couple days as he stayed out of the house a lot so as not to run into him. We then see Wayne coming along the sidewalk kicking a rock. He asks what Kevin is doing there, and Kevin just shrugs his shoulders and tells him nothing. Then he fires back at Wayne, asking what he's doing there, and Wayne tells him none of his business. Wayne looks around awkwardly, up, down, anywhere but at Kevin, as he nervously shuffles the rock from one hand to the other. Look, I'm sorry, okay? What do you want me to say? I'm sorry. Kevin just glares up at him, scoffing, yeah. Well, it was a stupid thing to do, he points out to Wayne. I know that! What do you think, I'm an idiot? Wayne shoots back. Kevin shrugs at this. You don't think I meant to do it, did you? Kevin gives him the side eye, and Wayne asks again quietly, do you? No, Kevin mutters, not looking up. Sorry I said all that stuff, Kevin apologizes. Wayne puts his hands up in surrender, like, it's okay, it's a truce. And then he tells Kevin that he's going home, and then asks Kevin if he's also headed home. Yeah, I guess so, as Kevin gets up, walking stick in hand. Walking alongside Wayne, Kevin swings his arm back and pitches the stick out into the park. Man, I hope he didn't take out an elderly person with that. He threw it pretty hard. Just walking along, and then Kevin slugs him in the arm, and Wayne turns to look at him, and then Kevin lightly slaps him across the face a couple times, like, okay, Wayne's like, all right, I'll give you those two. But then Wayne pulls him to the ground, and they wrestle. The brothers are back. All right, that's the end of the episode. Now it's time for my Flower Power episode rating. I'm giving it 3 out of 5. I did love it, don't get me wrong. 1 for the cute hamsters. 2, Kevin finally laying into Wayne, all those years of anger finally bubbling over and coming to the surface. 3, I didn't mention Karen's one scene, actually I kind of did, one and only scene in the episode because it was basically a brothers themed episode. I did knock off 2 points, mainly for Wayne, 1 for his abusive Weezer on the bus, the garbage disposal, and the act of the vacuum ultimately resulting in his death. 2, using Weezer to sexually harass Angela. A cute hamster is still not a good way to cop a feel on a teenage girl. Shame on you, Wayne. He's also getting voted for the worst this episode. He's getting the boosh, the toilet swirly. Here's the quote of the episode. Narrator. As my brother and I walked home that day, I guess we both knew that things would never be quite the same between us. Everything would be more complicated now. Now, we both knew that I could hurt him. The funny thing was, I'm not sure I was glad about it. Here's my wonderling words of wisdom, what I got from the episode. Siblings fight, that's just how things are, but sometimes things can go too far and we say things in the heat of the moment we later wish you could take back. The important thing is to talk it out afterward. Don't hold grudges if you can help it, because there may come a day when you will need to lean on each other for support. Don't have bad blood. All right, let's give a shout out to some new Wonderling listeners. We have New Jersey, Michigan, California, Atlanta, Virginia, Washington, Michigan again, Pennsylvania, Brazil, Virginia, and California. And to all you other listeners out there, thanks again for listening. I want to give a sincere thank you to all you listeners out there, whether you listen to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, or any other listening platforms that you may use to hear this podcast. I love giving you the episode recaps of The Wonder Years every week, joining me as I go into full detail, as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends Paul and Winnie and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. To stay connected with the podcast, you can visit my many social media sites, which are also listed on my SoundCloud account. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, oh my goodness, I am still spewing my words. Alright, if you enjoy this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Tell your friends. Also, check my social media sites, which you can access, as I said, using my SoundCloud account. I do weekly trivia and listener questions, so if you would like a shout-out on the podcast, all you gotta do is answer them. Join me next Thursday for Season 2, Episode 10, Walkout, which aired on March 7, 1989. We see Kevin, along with other kids in his school, schedule a walkout to protest the Vietnam War. However, when Assistant Principal DiPerna finds out, he threatens to suspend all who participate. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll see you next week.